Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Marcia Pilgrim is here to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
I've just been speaking to Harry Palmer on the phone. He rang to tell me that my husband and Stella Bronson are having a tete-a-tete in the downstairs bar at the Pelican. Oh, it makes my blood boil. I've never actually caught them together. And something inside me says I don't want to, ever. Because then I can always keep saying that maybe it isn't true. Oh, but I know it's true. I know it. That's why I'm trying to get hold of Uncle Tressida now. I want him to come with me. He still doesn't know whether or not to believe Jeff's been meeting Stella. But after this he will. Oh, why can't someone answer? Even Aunt Harriet's not home. So, I'll just have to go by myself.
So there you have it, Stella. And at the moment, I can't see a solitary way out.
Harry Palmer told you all this?
Uh-huh. Oh, what a mess. You're going to be told to clear out of your own accord, or I'll be given the boot. And whichever way we turn, we'll make it look as though we've an interest in each other.
Unless you fake a good strong case against me to break my contract. Lovely.
Yeah.
You know, Geoffrey, I have to hand it to Mr. Tressida Bendigo.
I know. There's an extremely agile old noggin at work behind the bluff exterior. But just the same, I'm certain of one thing. I'm not faking any excuses to have you fired.
That leaves it up to me, doesn't it? To resign and say goodbye all round.
No.
Well, what then?
Oh, there must be some way out. The minute you leave, you're saying, in effect, I'm too fond of dear Jeffy to let them do this.
Maybe I am.
And that's your affair, so long as you're content to have it one-sided.
Thanks.
No, my dear. You're not resigning. Bendigo's not going to say to me, don't philander with your next secretary the way you did with Stella Bronson.
Well, stop jawing about it. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. What are you going to do?
Have another drink. You want one?
No.
You know, one thing sticks in my cranium, Stella. You're a nice lass.
You're too sweet, dear.
And so is Marcia. Two thoroughly likable people. Why, if only I could get you two together somehow, there's no reason why you shouldn't become darn good friends.
Oh, Geoffrey, how little you know about women.
Well, hang it all, why not? If only Marcia would realize what sort of a person you are. Look here, Stella. Would you come to my place and meet her properly?
No, I would not.
But why?
I'd do a lot for you, Jeff, but that's out. Not in a million years.
But why do you detest her so? She's younger than you, and she only needs the one thing she's never had. Guidance, without being doted upon.
Isn't that where you come in?
She's too fond of me. I can't give it to her. Stella, please, get together with Marcia.
No.
I really am asking you.
Well, I wish you wouldn't, and if you weren't as blind as a New Guinea bat, you'd know why. I will not meet your wife.
All right. Oh, I must be a mutton-witted serf not to have organized better than this.
Are you sure you didn't?
What do you mean?
Standing right behind you? Hello.
Oh.
You do look ducky. I bet you both wish I'd go away.
Marcia, good Lord, we've been sitting here talking
it's
about
all
you.
All right, darling, don't get up. Can I join in just for a minute?
How did you know we were here, Marcia?
A beastly little gremlin whispered in my shell-like ear.
Palmer's the only person I've seen here I know.
Oh, Angel, anyone as good-looking as you.
It doesn't matter. You're here, and I'm glad. Do you know what I've been trying to do? I've been asking Stella to meet you properly. I rather thought you might get on well with something.
Oh, Jeff, darling. Oh, really? Stella, isn't he divinely naive?
It's perfectly true, and I turned him down flat.
Well, the three of us are together now, aren't we? You two females.
One of them's going. Oh, really, Stella, I don't want to hunt you away. In fact, now that I've seen all I want to, I'll run along.
Now, listen to me. I'll get annoyed in a minute. Since you first met on the eve of our wedding, you've both been utterly, completely wrong about each other, and I am stuck in the middle.
It's funny, Jeff. I've never noticed before what a bore you can be.
Oh, I give up. Come on, Master, I'll take you home. Can we drop you on this fella?
No, thanks.
Oh. Well, good night, then.
Good night.
Bye-bye, darling. You can have him some other time.
Good morning, Tressa the Bendigo and Company.
Hello, Minnie. It's Marcia Pilgrim here.
Why, hello, Mrs. Pilgrim.
How are you, Minnie?
Oh, gee, Mrs. Pilgrim, I'm fine.
You know, Minnie, I was sitting here wondering what on earth to do with myself, and it suddenly occurred to me, why don't we have lunch together?
You mean today?
You go out at one, don't you?
Yes, but... Oh, gee, Mrs. Pilgrim.
Don't say if you've any other arrangements.
Why, no, but...
That's settled, then. I'll be waiting for you at the cab rank just down the street. And, Lily, don't say anything. You know what people are, the way they talk.
No, just black coffee, thanks.
Black coffee for two, madam.
Sometimes, Millie, I wish I'd never left the firm. We had fun, didn't we? And now here I am, a fashionable matron, and just a little bit bored. I've even had my name in the papers. Did you see it?
I saw something, but the minute I read it, I knew it wasn't your fault.
I always said you were a darling. By the way, how do you get on with Stella Bronson?
I don't.
Oh, that makes two of us. I like her, like a black widow spider. Millie, would you do something for me?
Sure I would.
I'll bet you can't guess what it is.
Shall I try?
No, don't. I want you to tell me everything you can about Stella Bronson and my husband.
Oh, but I couldn't do that. I'd be taking an awful risk.
I know, darling. That's why I'm going to give you such an awful lot for anything you can find out.
How much of an awful lot?
I'll show you in a minute. I want to know all you can find out about their comings and goings. And, of course, there's always the switchboard. Isn't there?
I never listen in unless I can help it, Mrs. Pilgrim.
Of course you don't. How do you like this brooch, Minnie?
Oh, gee. Oh, it's terrific.
Here's a fiver. You can get them quite like this at Newton's in the arcade. Come on, take it.
Gee.
We're going to have fun, I think, Millie, so long as we keep this a secret. Understand, darling?
I catch on fast when I want to.
That's marvellous. Come along, then. Let's find a cab. Cheerio, Millie. I'll drop off here and you can take the cab the rest of the way. I'll pay for it. Don't forget now.
Not likely. Ta-da! Okie doke, mister. Oh! Stop! Stop!
Hey, Mrs. Pilgrim!
Oh, never mind, driver. You'd better go on. She's dropped her brooch on the floor, but I can give it back later. The Tresigan Bendigo building is where I'm going. Gee, what a honey of a brooch. Bet you wouldn't get this for a fiver.
Yes, I should say we're dropping with those figures, Mr. Fleming. Good night, sir. Good night, Billy. Packing up?
In a couple of minutes, I guess, Mr. Pilgrim.
Hello. Let's have a look at the... I see, this is Marcy's. Where in the deuce did you get it?
Well, I found it. Cross my heart, I did, Mr. Pilgrim.
Come along now, Millie. Where did you lay hands on this brooch?
I was... Yesterday... No, today. Mrs. Pilgrim gave me a lift in her cab and she dropped it. I was going to ring her up.
Well, there's no need to get in such a stew, is there? Where did Mrs. Pilgrim pick you up?
Oh, it was near the corner of Hudson and Burrell Streets. That's right, Hudson and Burrell Streets.
Oh, well, you needn't worry about it now. I'm going home. Good job you found it, eh? Oh, here. Yeah. Grab 10 bob reward. Take a study of the pictures. Good night.
You weren't too hep just then, Moffat.
Home, darling?
No. The radiogram put that record on itself.
Got a kiss?
Don't keep away from me, Jeff, please.
Bad luck. What are you doing tonight? Anything?
No.
The show at the Coliseum is supposed to be worth taking in. No garden to call. What about you?
You go if you want to, Jeff.
All right. Did you go out today?
I haven't left the flat.
Hmm?
I said I haven't left the flat.
Oh, bad show. Hello, where's your brooch? You generally wear it with that suit.
Oh, I don't see the point in getting cluttered up like a Christmas tree just to sit around the house. I haven't cooked anything. There's a lobster in the freezer if you want it. Jeff, what's the matter? What are you looking at me like that for?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Maybe I need spectacles to see you properly. I don't know. Lies upon lies. Wouldn't Millie have my wife's brooch? Why would you be cultivating Millie, my darling? Not to monitor my telephone calls and pass them on to you, surely. I have to warn Stella about this if I'm right. And heaven only knows what Marcy will cook up if she finds out anything. Not that there is anything to find out. I wonder if I could see Stella tonight.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.